Leaving isolation, which is where shame thrives, and moving into community where resilience is built, that was my saving grace.
Welcome to today's episode of Passionate Pursuits, powered by Quirins Coaching, LLC. I'm your host, Bridget Quirins. My mission for this podcast is to help you flourish by exploring how ordinary people are using their strengths in extraordinary service to the world and inspiring you to do the same. If you hang out in this community of dynamic visionaries long enough, you might just find yourself transformed. Subscribe now and check us out at quirinscoaching.com. Today, I am truly honored to be in the presence of Miss Casey, a live performance artist who weaves stories of empowerment, connection, courage, and curiosity through visual and social art. She's also the founder of Muck Duck Studio in Rochester, New York, a collective of alternative artists working on individual projects in a communal setting. Welcome, Casey.
Hi, thanks, Bridget, for having me.
So I am so excited to hear about your individuation story and how Miss Casey came to be.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you for asking that question. I believe that everything I was built to uncover right now, I was born with. I don't believe anything has ever been missing. I don't believe any of the things that I am realizing to be my truth right now are new. But ironically, I do believe they are being discovered in real time, almost as if I was mining gold or hidden treasure in a garden. I was born with it. It's always been with me. It was always meant to be there. But my environment did not foster that kind of exploration. My environment wasn't suited for my personal gifts to come to light on their own. I would say my story of individuation is more about being forged by fire and learning how to dance in the flame, and less about having things handed to me and they made sense. I have a very non-linear story.
Tell me more about what being forged in the fire looks like.
Well, sometimes people who are strong didn't know they were strong until they had an experience that forced them to be. You know, it's really easy to label suffering or tragedy or pain or struggle as bad or negative. But in my case, for my story, it was the turning point of everything that I've come to know today. And without the suffering, without the struggle, without the pain, I never would have known what I was capable of. It would have been very easy for me to say, I don't care. I resign. I'll just go down with the ashes. But instead, I learned that I was built for pressure. I was built for a little bit of chaos. Because my creative life is in nature, or is in its natural form, a little chaotic. And so for me, the fire gave me an opportunity to cleanse what wasn't for me so that I could step into a more authentic version of my life experience.
How comfortable are you sharing what your story is, your personal story?
I am an open book. I'll tell you anything. I'm a big believer that the right people will hear my story and they will make use of it for themselves. I'm not quick to just share or trauma dump on people. I really prefer my story to be of service. So anytime I feel my story will be of service, I am willing to share. I am willing to be open. Anything after that is not of service to me or anyone else. So I'm willing to tell you anything.
So what do you feel was the turning point for you when you made that conscious step out of where you were before and began clawing out into where you are now?
That's such a beautiful illustration. I actually made a painting about a creature clawing its way out of the dirt just to break the surface, to find out it was a basil plant. And then the basil plant was just itty bitty, breaking its all, like it had gone through this whole journey of breaking through the soil, which was dark and damp, and there is no sight. And then it fought, and then it broke even, just to find out it was at a new state of vulnerability. I think what you said without saying is, how did I know I had ended a cycle and entered a new one? Because the creative process and the life process is all continuous. There is no end. There is no beginning. There is no end all be all. It is constantly evolving, constantly changing, infinite in possibilities. So for you to say, well, what was the turning point? What was the pivot? What was that 2-degree pivot that changed the course of everything? Because it doesn't take a lot. 1 degree. 1 degree out of 360 will change the entire direction of a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So on my end, the real pivot, the real turning point went from me living with the outside world as my beacon for truth, me taking their beacons of truth and internalizing them and making them true to me, and reversing that and living from the inside out. I choose to pick my own ideals, my own truth, my own needs. I held that gold by myself for some time, and then I pivoted it outward and I said, outside, it's your time to match me. And that shift was all internal, meaning it was life-changing for me, and everyone around me thought it was business as usual until I started to speak differently, walk differently, talk about myself differently, because my internal voice started to change. I decided that instead of being my own worst enemy, it was about time I became my own best friend. Confident, secure, loving, honest, willing, fun, playful. And that changed the shame spiral. I have a big belief that shame wants us dead and guilt we can learn from. And for me, my shame story was what was keeping me stuck below the surface. It was keeping me in the dark. It was keeping me blind, and it kept me from growing because I didn't think I was worth it. So when I changed the dialogue about worthiness, about willingness, and about honesty, that's when I was able to realign my life to be more suited for me in a way where I was able to take that feedback loop of, I'm not worth it, I don't deserve this, to maybe I should try, to, oh man, that worked, how cool, maybe I could do it again, to, wow, I did it a lot bigger this time, to, oh my gosh, I've met other people doing the same thing, to community. So leaving isolation, which is where shame thrives, and moving into community where resilience is built, that was like the long pivot for me. That was my saving grace. And ironically, art is how it looks in the real world, but I'll tell you, it's a completely different experience on the inside. If that makes sense.
That brought up a question for me. I'm picturing, how does someone who is in that shame spiral, that isolation, how do they get out?
I call that the dark night of the soul. I know a lot of people would call it that. And often when it feels the absolute darkest, it's usually because a big pivot or a big change is coming. And one can either choose to ignore it, the whispers of the suffering, the internal struggle, or they can surrender to it and say, okay, have me. Let's see what happens. That's very scary for a lot of people. It can, for many people, lead to life or death. I'm not being coy when I say suicide is a really dark place. Mm-hmm. And we lose people in that pivot sometimes. It's a big jump to go from dark to light. But if one really wants to come out and be seen, be heard, witnessed in their imperfect state of being, and all I would really tell them is you better be prepared for some culture shock. Because if you yourself have told yourself for so long that you are not worthy of love and connection, and then you are given love and connection, it's going to startle you. So the only thing that one can do in that state of transition is be completely willing and open. That's it. You need two things, willingness and openness. If I am open, anything can reach me. But if I am closed and I am locked down, I won't be influenced by anything. So it can't touch me. Survival mode is a very protective shield we put up against ourselves and the world. And as a result, I can stay exactly where I am, which could be my comfort zone, which could be keeping me small. And it's a leap of faith to try something different. So I would say anticipate some culture shock and be prepared to receive in an open kind of way, even if it's a small dose. It doesn't have to be everything. Little chunks go a very long way in these scenarios. But I find lately in my work at Muckduck Studio, we get a lot of people who I would say are internally fractured. They don't feel whole. They don't feel complete. They don't feel fulfilled, maybe. Or maybe they wouldn't use those words. It's more of an observation from the outside in. But people will come in and say, something's missing. Something's not right here. I have all the money I could want. I have all the food on my table. My family's not hungry, but yet I feel fractured. Little broken. And so I ask them, what are you denying yourself? Where are you closed? Where are you holding on to tension? Where are you succumbing to the pressure of a status quo rather than trying something new? I think it's exquisitely important that we not back down from the callings of our heart and our intuition and just say, okay, I'm willing to try it. It's all willingness. I just have to be willing to both fail and succeed neutrally. It's not about that. It's about becoming open. It's an opening. If we create opening and we are reached, then things can reach us and we can reach others. Willingness and openness. That's going to be my theme today.
That is awesome. You reminded me of two things when you were just talking. One is this book I'm reading. It's called A Hidden Wholeness. It's by Parker Palmer. And he speaks to exactly that, the divided life. And we know we're living the divided life because there's something missing. And it doesn't matter how fulfilled we think we are, or, you know, like you said, how much wealth is in our hands or what car is parked in our driveway, there's something deeply wrong and missing. And we can do so much to try to fill that, but there comes a point where we have to say, I've got to let go and allow what I'm missing into my life. And that's a really scary step because that can look like leaving a relationship, you know, a metaphorical or a actual relationship. That can look like leaving a job. It can look like moving to a completely different place. I mean, my gosh, it could look like giving up everything you own and walking away and just saying, this is not serving me anymore. And then you also created this mental picture that I've been pondering these past few days, that our yes is an island in the middle of the sea of no's. And we are so much stronger than we give ourselves credit for. And the more we encounter those no's, the more we can make ourselves become not just resilient, but anti-fragile. We strengthen ourselves and bolster ourselves. Wow, I got that rejection. I got that no. It's okay. I'm still moving forward. And yeah, and celebrating, actually celebrating those, because that when you reach that island of yes and you touch that, it doesn't matter how many no's you get from there on out because you've tasted it. Those were my thoughts.
I'm going to take that island analogy just a half step further and to the left a little bit.
Run.
Suppose you get to this island of yes and you realize it's not an island, it's a portal. And instead of being on sand, you drop right through into a whole new dimension of living life.
Yes.
Because your yeses are so real and clear and simple. Because they already sing to the truest part of your body. They reach your bones before they reach your brain. Mm. I think our culture teaches us to live with our brain from the neck up. We have a lot of noise. We're constantly stimulated. There's a lot of analysis, a lot of linear thinking. But what about sensing and feeling? That deeper knowing that comes when we make conscious contact with something that was innately there all along that we never were able to touch before. We slip right into a new way of doing and being. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, I'm a human being, not a human doing. Mm-hmm. I was built for being, for daydreaming and pondering up new ways of living life. And when we really come into a clear yes, now we're having a conversation about consent. It's a whole new conversation, but I will say it's crucial in being open and willing. Mm-hmm. Because when I say I am open, I am also consenting to life. I will receive you. Good, bad, ugly, and everything in between. I am here to say yes. And if I hit a clear no, I can rejoice that as well. Like you said, let's celebrate that no, because it leads us that much closer to a heck yes.
There's also a component of understanding that we are not our emotions, that we can control our emotions and our reactions and our thoughts and our feelings just as we can control our actions. There's agency that we have in that area.
A big nuance shift for me in all of this was differentiating what is of the heart and what is of the emotional nature. Because emotions can change all the time. They ebb and flow like waves. And I promise on my body, they come and go with hormones. Like they are induced sometimes. But what is of my heart is sturdy, unwavering, reliable, and secure. And that is where I find my resilience and willingness to commit to a community larger than myself. Because I know what's true in my heart of hearts. I don't doubt it anymore. I don't have any questions about whether or not it's true because I have already surrendered to those callings. So when the emotions hit, I'll let them ride over me, which is why I make art. Ironically, I paint to keep myself sober. I had celebrated 7 years this August. And because I do a lot of trauma work with people surviving all kinds of experiences, I digest those difficult emotions that I vicariously take on through painting. I literally take the pain and give it a new place to live. Once it leaves my body through my hands and it is in a canvas that people can identify with and empathize with and feel, art reaches a place that words will never come close to. Non-verbal emotions are something that we don't really celebrate or talk about in our community, our culture, really. So if we have a difficult emotion, which we don't even have words for in our society, like let's pretend there are words for this in other countries, but the United States doesn't have this word, but there's like a happy, sad emotion where you're literally both at the same time, non-duality. How could one possibly be happy and sad at the same time? Tell me that's not of spiritual nature to have both and nothing in one. So an illustration of this could be, wow, I am so happy this person is going on to fulfill their dream. And I am devastated that they are leaving me. they have to go pursue themselves at the cost of my fulfillment of their company. Heartbreaking and yet joyous. How would one explain that with words? We don't really. So I paint about it instead because I can't cope. I can't hang with some of the emotions. They just get me so good sometimes, and they're juicy. Life is meant to be very versatile and very outside the box, a palette, an arrangement, like a charcuterie board of different emotions. Oh, today, you know, I'm feeling kind of peppy or spicy or, you know, melancholy or sweet or savory. Okay, I got a little bit of everything. At some point, that charcuterie board's going to be empty. Her fresh palate. Okay, cool. So they come and they go. Whatever comes, let it come. Whatever goes, let it go. And whatever stays, allow it to have space in your life. Openness. Willing.
That space of great joy and great mourning was personally for me how I experienced stepping into my relationship with God and vibrating on this higher frequency. It was both. It was very terrible and wonderful.
Dark night of the soul, man, it'll get you every time. And I thought, I really believed once I got sober, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I never have to do that again. Wrong lies. I had to come and die and be born again more than once just to get to where I am right now. And I realized that life is cyclical, evolutionary, never ending, never beginning. So how can one say that a cycle has come to completion when really it has just entered a new phase of evolution? Because endings and beginnings are almost indistinguishable in the moments that they are happening. Hello, goodbyes happen constantly. Another paradigm of all or nothing, non-duality, non-binary, blah, blah, blah. Hello, goodbye. Okay, cool. Guess I'm in this whole new state of being. You know, and it's easier said than done, but I could liken some of those life and death cycles to be like the death throes or like the death rolls of a crocodile. Like they got me and they're doing barrel rolls and I'm like not able to get out on my own. It's just whenever it releases me, that's when I am free, when it has had me. Mm-hmm. So instead of fighting and grinding against the process, I surrender and just let it roll until it's done rolling. And then by that point, I'm already in a whole new state of being. You know, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a Christian, but I do love some of the phrases in the Bible. You know, dusk like dawn is one that we've touched on. And another one is God prepares our hearts. I am being prepared for the next cycle as is, because it's almost like life comes in and leaves little hints of the next chapter, because we're open and we're open to hearing it now. It's like what I wasn't open to years ago, I'm now open to, but it wasn't like, now I'm closed and now I'm open. It was, I'm closed, but I'm willing. Mm. And as I am willing, openness happens. And the more open I get, the more life is able to make room for itself in me, through me, for me. And then before you know it, I'm already embodying this whole new way of doing and being. And I'm like, wow. Look what happens when I stop thinking with my brain and I just connect with my intuition on purpose. Funny how that works, huh? Like, but if God loves us, why do we suffer? You think you're going to make it through life without suffering? Are you really living the full palette? If we choose to just not have the negative emotions, are we really experiencing the fullness of each one experience?
Well,
we can't
impossible.
Collectively mute it. No, we can't selectively mute. We have to say yes to everything.
One could say that their soul chose life to experience that fullness.
Absolutely.
Yes, and all of it. I have a bit of a different question to someone who's in that dark space and really just says, okay, this is great. You're talking in theory. I need practice. I need an actual concrete step of what the heck am I supposed to do? Everything feels like it's against me and I'm fighting everyone and everything. What do I do?
Oh, God bless. You reach out and you make a buddy. You cannot survive these death throes alone. If one is stuck in their head, ruminating on all the ways that they are not worthy or that they are trapped, maybe they might be worthy, but they're still trapped. I am stuck here. You can't let that voice win. And I promise we have a whole team of people here at Mothduck Studio willing to catch you at your most broken. Mm. Actually, people come in and they really, like most people come in and they cry for a little while before they have conversations. You know, we disguise ourselves as an art studio, for sure. I mean, everyone's making art, but we're a heart studio. I know, cheesy, I don't care. People come in and they're like, you know, I've heard some very sad stories and I have my own sad stories as well. But when you're in that pinch, the only thing you can do is reach out for a hand that might be reaching back at you already. Don't let fear win, because on the other side of fear is a whole new experience. But you don't know that till you're through the other side. It's part of the beauty of darkness. There's like a gift that comes with suffering. Is you learn, wow, I can make it through this. And not in survival mode. Through openness and vulnerability, you can make it through this. You step out of survival mode into connection and community. How does one identify a safe community? It's a maybe even a more important question, you know, backing up to the answer that I'm giving. You want people who resonate with you, who is living a life that you could see for yourself, who is speaking the language that you want to speak, who makes you feel safe in a way that you maybe didn't experience before, you know? And when I say you will come into these situations with a little bit of culture shock, if you were raised in a dysfunctional or abusive household and you come into contact with tender, loving people who will not pressure you, the first few times you meet them, you're not going to be that open, and that's okay. It's a process. But by walking in the front door of that community, whether it be 12-step groups or Mothduck Studio or, you know, a church or somewhere where the fellowship receives you, somewhere where the group receives you, you might not be that open, but you are already willing, or you wouldn't have been there. And that's the first step, willing and then open. And my suggestion to people is to let openness have you for a while. And the fear as well. You can be open and afraid. They call that courage. I am willing to do the things that I am willing to do, even though I'm terrified. And what's ironic about fear is that it has many phases. I call it a false phase, because there are certain things I'm afraid of, but they're actually calling me closer. Take art, for example. I shut painting down when I was in like kindergarten or first grade because I got in trouble for mixing all the paint. And first grade Casey was mesmerized by the way blue and green made teal. I'm telling you, I will never forget it. I had on my art smock, I had paint all over my hands, and they were mad. They were like, this kid ruined paint for all the other kids and got paint everywhere. And it's just like chaos. So I shut it down. I was like, I'm never going to do this again. I'm no longer open. Fast forward 19 years. I'm about 19 years old, maybe 20 something. And I picked up painting again by accident, kind of. And I was shocked to find out that it fully resonated with my body. I was bewildered that I didn't know I enjoyed this as much as I did. I mean, it was brand new to me, but it had always been there. Another non-duality, right? And so I found myself afraid to show people my art. I found myself afraid to make art, timid or submissive even. And the fear was calling me closer. It was saying, come here, look a little deeper. But I was startled because I didn't know on the other side of fear was a whole life evolution, right? Little old me just thought I was making paints. But I kept getting closer and closer and closer. And then I had my first show. And actually at my first art show in 2017, I was so afraid to hang my art that I took a stress leap on the floor of the cafe while a friend of mine hung my painting. And when I woke up to people complimenting my art, I was so, I mean, I looked strung out. I was so stressed out. I mean, my mom can recall, I looked pale. And I was quivery and like hiding from people. I was scared. I mean, like real fear of being seen, because my unworthiness had said, you're not worth being seen. No one wants to see you. You got put in time out. You're done now. I wasn't open. And then I was willing to be seen, and I was seen, and I was stressed, and I had breakdowns for the first year of having art shows. Like breakdowns. When I say breakdowns, I mean, I wasn't, because I was sober, I wasn't using my acting out and drugs and alcohol and things to like tune out. So I was fully aware of what was happening. So my mania like had me sometimes. I mean, it was scary. And then what was foreign became okay again. And then what was okay actually became awesome. And then what was awesome became epic. And then what became epic became shareable with the community. And now somehow I'm not shaken. Resilience is built. It's a process. It takes time. It's okay to take time. But on the other side of fear is an evolution. You know, I hosted a comedy event recently. I'm not funny. I'm not that kind of funny. I'm like way too stoic to be funny. But I hired comedians and I wasn't afraid. And I was like, maybe this will just be really great. Wrong. Turns out I'm bored. Don't love comedy shows. It wasn't meant for me. The fear wasn't there. And honestly, I was like, oh, maybe it wasn't calling me closer because it wasn't a yes. It wasn't my portal into a new way of life. I really thought maybe I would develop some kind of skill around comedy and comedic bits, but I didn't. And that's totally cool with me. I'm not built for that. But now that I'm at this new state of resiliency, I have other things calling me closer and I'm scared again. That's the truth. And that's me being open and real. I'm still scared, just in a different way.
Mm. Yeah, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is very much the full presence of fear and our action in its face. That's true courage. And when you were talking about the things we're most afraid of and the things that really cause that like gut level fear in us, I feel as though you were also saying that the things that causes the most fear are the things that our soul is the most deeply longing to express and to explore. And that those areas, when we step into them, are where our soul is going to expand and become new and more.
Yeah, exactly.
May I ask what's scaring you right now?
I think I might have a hidden musician inside my body that is dying to come out, but I'm terrified because it's new to me. And it's another thing that I had shut down a few years ago. A few years ago. I don't even know what is time, you know, a relative. But I used to play guitar a little bit. I kind of play the harmonica. I call it doodling. You know, I don't read music. I kind of doodle on the piano. And apparently I also kind of write full songs with lyrics, choruses, and everything. My first song was written last week. I don't have the courage to sing it. I did when I was alone, but only once. Mm-hmm. So we're talking doses of willingness, but also it's pouring through me. And I'm really worried that I might actually be some form of musician who is just captive to the agreement that I'm a painter. I'm somehow not able to be more than one kind of creative, which is silly because it's my whole shtick is like, I want you to be all of it, any of the things that you feel called to. But it's scary for the part of me that's been programmed or taught that that's only for some people, but not you, not me. I'm not allowed to do those things, but other people can do those things. That's not fair. Why can't I experiment? So every time I give someone in the community the chance to explore and experiment, I inadvertently give myself permission to try as well.
Ooh, I love that.
I believe that we are all connected. I don't believe any of us are really that separate. I believe that when one of us is suffering, we all have a collective suffering. I believe that when one of us feels lost and disconnected, we all have a hint of disconnection as well. So in reverse, when one of us is exploding with love and it's contagious, we catch it, we catch the giggles. Laughter can be contagious. It's empathy. I can feel you. And like the I Ching, which is an ancient Chinese type way of looking at life, is one of my favorites. There's a phrase that says, I am the other you. I am the other you. I am just one mirror of many, learning from everyone around me, taking in what I see. And we're not all that unique, really. We're all connected and we're all built for one another. Just an opinion. I suppose that's also evolving, but yeah, that's where I'm at today.
I mean, really, what is making music other than painting with vibration and frequency?
Right. They're indistinguishable, yeah, for sure, which is why these fixed ideas inside my own head are what keeping me from moving closer to them. But I believe that the struggle does actually make the openness more valuable when we eventually reach that threshold.
Absolutely.
Like by the time we get there, we have resisted for so long that we finally surrender and we give it in and we're like, wow, I can't imagine living life. That's why yes is a portal. We slip right through it. Once it has me, it has me. Art, music for me have always been indistinguishable, but I've only been willing to play for one, even though I was in choir for like 6 years in high school or something. So bizarre.
I feel like we've come to a good space.
I feel like you brought the good space with you from the beginning. Oh,
I love being in your space. All right. I've got 5 fun, rapid, random questions. You ready?
My favorite. Yes.
Okay.
So I just answer what comes to mind?
Yep. First thing that comes to mind. What is your spirit animal?
Eagle.
Cannonball or dip a toe in first?
Cannonball.
What makes you sad?
Lots of things. Sometimes I cry when I watch people doing human things, like holding their groceries and waiting at the bus stop or pushing a cart down the road. Really gets me. Just little stuff.
Do plants feel?
Yes.
The way to my heart is?
Through the cake you bring me.
Minus cheese, but yes. I love it. Okay. So if you would like to learn more about Muck Duck Studio, obviously feel free to drop in, but you can look Muck Duck Studio up on Instagram and get connected there. And if you would like to stay connected with Casey, feel free to send her an email. Her email is caseymora.art@gmail.com. That's caseymaura.art@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Passionate Pursuits, powered by Corns Coaching, LLC. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe now. This show is completely ad-free, so if you gain value from listening, please leave a review and share with a friend. I am so grateful for you.